This article is brought to you by the best-selling book See It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How the language you use about yourself shapes your emotional identity. The words you choose to describe yourself quietly decide who you become. In short, the language you use about yourself is not just descriptive, it is formative. When your self-awareness is built on vague or fixed self-labels, you lose the ability to see what is actually happening inside you, which means you lose the ability to change it. Identity language "I'm anxious" locks you into a fixed self-concept. State language "I feel anxious right now" keeps you free. The precision of your emotional vocabulary directly determines the quality of your self-awareness. You can rebuild your internal narrative deliberately, one specific word at a time. Definition: self-awareness language refers to the specific words and phrases you habitually use to describe your own emotions, reactions, and character. These words shape your self-concept, influence how you interpret experience, and either expand or constrain your emotional range and capacity for growth. Why most people misunderstand what self-awareness actually requires. Most people think self-awareness means knowing that they have emotions. They recognize they feel angry, nervous, or overwhelmed. They notice the heat in their chest or the tightening in their jaw. That recognition feels like enough. It is not. Self-awareness goes deeper than noticing that something is happening inside you. It requires you to understand what is happening with enough precision to do something useful with it. And that precision almost always comes down to language. The words you reach for when you describe yourself to yourself are not neutral. They are the lens through which all further self-understanding is filtered. Here is the truth of it: most people are working with a very small emotional vocabulary. They cycle through the same 5 or 6 words, and those words are really specific. When your internal vocabulary is limited, your self-awareness is limited by the same walls. The core mechanism: how words build the self you believe you are. This is where the real work begins. Your brain does not just observe your emotional states, it categorizes them. And it uses the language you have available to do the categorizing. When you experience something uncomfortable before a difficult conversation and you reach for the word anxious, you have done something more than name a feeling. You have told your brain which pattern this experience belongs to, which memories to connect it to, and how seriously to treat it. That categorization happens fast. It happens before conscious reflection, and it shapes what comes next. The danger is this: when you use the same broad label repeatedly, the brain stops investigating. It stamps the experience with a familiar word and moves on. Real self-awareness requires you to slow that process down and look more carefully. Is what you are feeling anxiety? Or is it excitement about something uncertain? Is it dread? Or is it the specific discomfort of feeling unprepared? Those are very different emotional states with very different implications for how you should respond. The distinction between identity language and state language is where this becomes practical. When you say, "I'm an anxious person," you have made anxiety part of your identity. That is a fixed declaration. It tells your brain that anxiety is a permanent feature of who you are, not a temporary response to a specific situation. When you say, "I feel anxious about this particular conversation," you have kept the emotion as information rather than turning it into a label. The emotion becomes something you're experiencing, not something you fundamentally are. That single shift gives you room to act differently. It is the foundation on which emotional intelligence and tone in your communication can actually be built. The same principle applies to almost every self-description you use regularly. "I am bad under pressure" is an identity statement. "I struggle to think clearly when I feel rushed" is an observation about a pattern that can be examined and addressed. The second version is honest about the difficulty without cementing it as permanent. What this looks like when it plays out in real life. "Let me tell you about a pattern I have watched repeat itself for decades." A manager receives critical feedback from someone they respect. Within seconds, their internal narrative fires. "I always get this wrong. I am just not good at this." The conversation that follows is defensive, because the language they used internally made the feedback an attack on who they are rather than information about what they did. If that same manager had a more precise internal vocabulary, the same feedback might have triggered a different inner response. "I feel stunned by that. I think I am frustrated because I worked hard on this and did not expect that reaction." That is harder to arrive at, but it is honest, and it leaves room for the thinking brain to stay engaged. The core framework for staying calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction only works if your internal language gives you enough distance from the feeling to apply it. Here is another pattern. Someone who consistently describes themselves as a calm person will often suppress rather than process difficult emotions, because acknowledging them threatens the self-concept. Their identity label has become a performance requirement. Self-awareness collapses, not because they lack intelligence, but because their own language has made honest self-examination feel like a personal failure. The amygdala hijack that escalates tension in high-pressure moments is significantly more likely when your internal language is vague and identity-based. Fixed self-labels accelerate the hijack. Precise, state-based language slows it. Why the mechanism goes unrecognized for so long? The reason most people never examine the language they use about themselves is that it feels entirely natural. Your inner monologue does not announce itself as a choice. It sounds like observation. It sounds like truth. By the time you're an adult, the habitual phrases you use to describe yourself have been running so long, questioning them feels strange, almost disloyal to your own experience. There is also a cultural habit of treating self-knowledge as a destination rather than a practice. People assume that if they have learned a few things about themselves, the self-awareness work is largely done. But the self you described at 30 is not the same self you're dealing with at 45. The language needs updating too, and most people never revisit it. This is one reason why some leaders develop a stronger voice faster than others. They stay curious about their own patterns rather than assuming they have already figured themselves out. The confidence-competence loop compounds this. People with low confidence in self-examination tend to avoid it, which means the vocabulary stays limited, which means the self-awareness stays shallow, which erodes confidence further. The loop runs quietly in the background until someone names it. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Rebuilding the language, three shifts that change everything. The practical work here is not complicated, but it requires patience and commitment. You are changing habits of thought that have run for years. These three shifts will give you a real place to start. Move from identity to state. Every time you catch yourself saying I'm emotion, practice replacing it with I feel emotion right now or I notice emotion when situation. This is not about softening difficult truths. It is about keeping the emotion as information rather than letting it become your definition. This single habit, applied consistently, is one of the most direct paths to improved self-awareness. Name the emotion more precisely. If frustrated, stressed, and anxious are doing most of the heavy lifting in your internal vocabulary, you're working with too blunt an instrument. Practice asking, what specifically am I feeling? Am I disappointed? Embarrassed? Resentful because a boundary was crossed? Nervous because I feel underprepared? The more precisely you can name it, the more clearly you can see it, and the more choices you have about what to do next. This is what emotional granularity means in practice, not more drama, but more resolution in how you read your own experience. Audit your fixed self-beliefs. Sit with the phrases you use most often to describe yourself under pressure. I tend to shut down. I always overreact. I am not good in conflict. For each one, ask, is this a permanent truth? Or is this a pattern I developed in certain conditions that may or may not still apply? Signs that your leadership voice is being driven by anxiety rather than intention often trace directly back to this layer, to old language running on autopilot, shaping responses you have not consciously chosen. You can read more about that in the article on signs your leadership voice is driven by anxiety rather than intention. These shifts also matter for how you give and receive feedback. The confidence-competence loop that explains why some managers handle workplace tension better runs through the same route managers with a richer, more flexible internal vocabulary stay more grounded when tension rises because their self-awareness gives them more to work with. The quiet power of getting the words right. After decades of watching people try to grow their self-awareness, I can tell you this, the most significant gains rarely come from dramatic insight. They come from small, distinct changes in the language people use about themselves. A person who learns to say I notice I pull back when I feel criticized instead of I'm just defensive has already done something profound. They have turned a fixed identity into a visible pattern, and visible patterns can be worked with. The words you use about yourself are not just a reflection of your emotional identity. They are the architecture of it. Change the language, and you begin to change the structure. That is where genuine self-awareness language takes root, not in knowing more about yourself in the abstract, but in speaking about yourself with enough precision and enough honesty that real change becomes possible. Frequently asked questions. What is self-awareness language? Self-awareness language refers to the specific words and phrases you habitually use to describe your own emotions, reactions, and identity. These words do more than label experience. They shape how you interpret and respond to situations, quietly reinforcing or limiting your emotional range over time. How does self-awareness language affect emotional identity? The words you use about yourself become the boundaries of your self-concept. When you repeatedly say things like, "I'm an anxious person," you stop treating anxiety as a passing state and start treating it as a fixed identity. That shift changes how you prepare for, respond to, and recover from difficult situations. How can I improve my self-awareness through language? Start by noticing the difference between state language and identity language. Replace "I am angry" with "I feel angry right now." Replace "I am bad at this" with "I find this difficult at the moment." Small shifts in phrasing create meaningful distance between you and your emotional state, which builds genuine self-awareness. Why does internal dialogue matter for self-awareness? Your internal dialogue is the first place self-awareness either develops or stalls. If your inner monologue defaults to broad, fixed labels, "I always do this," "I'm just that way," you lose the capacity to examine what is actually happening in a given moment. Specific language opens the door that generalized language keeps shut. What is emotional labeling, and why does it build self-awareness? Emotional labeling is the practice of naming an emotion precisely rather than broadly. Instead of saying "I feel bad," you identify whether you feel embarrassed, disappointed, anxious, or resentful. This precision activates the thinking brain, reduces the intensity of the emotion, and gives you more options for how to respond. Can the language others use about me affect my self-awareness? Absolutely. The labels other people apply to you, especially early in life or from positions of authority, often get absorbed into your self-concept. The repair work is the same. Notice when you're using someone else's old language about yourself, and ask whether that label is describing a fixed truth or a past moment. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book "Say It Right Every Time" will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.